fourth position, Arapahoe the Rails. Now Militarizers starting to take closer order, moving up with a trail, and Fangirl is hooking deep without cover as they straighten up. Attractable swings in front from Think It Over a half length away. Then came Navajo Peak. Fangirl is starting to rattle down the outside of the track, and in a stride, James McDonald let the mare go, and Fangirl quickly put three lengths on them. Think It Over second, and then came Militarized, but Fangirl, what a beauty, what a return to racing. Fangirl trounces them. Militarized second.
Didn't she win well? Just won, just like a horse we've remembered in the past, another mare, but Fangirl, absolutely enormous in the Apollo. Kraken win, Militarizing second, Think It Over, hung on well for third, I thought. But yeah, that was an absolute Kraken win on the weekend. My name is Zach. Welcome to the Give Us a Spell podcast. Well and truly getting into the carnival now. We had Kraken racing down south as well. Imperatrice got the job done, albeit just. Private Eye gave it a really good run for his money, but Espiona was really good too, I thought. And Riff Rocket was actually really good too. I was at the CS Hayes, came back in surprising order. A lot of people sort of didn't think it'd be ready, but beat King Colorado. And Macram was an absolute quaddy killer, with Jimmy Star going around at about $1.25 or something, and Macram just over the top at 150s. I think he can get even more with some places. I think 350 on Betfair. So absolutely a bit of a bloodbath in some instances down south, but it was a cracking day in Sydney for myself and Kohai. I think we went about 7 or 8 from 10, which was really nice to see. Marshall Music was a good win. FaZe Angels was there. Win Chat was obviously good. King of Sparta got the job done over Buenos Noches. That was a bit ordinary. Got well too far back. Samana won. Fangirl, obviously. Kamochi. Kohai was quite bullish on that. Just got the job done there over Learning to Fly. People were, I know a lot of people that were on Learning to Fly, so that was a good one to get. And Thunderlips was very good in the last as well. But there has been some quite sad news throughout the week in Very Elegant, obviously one of the stars of Australian racing and one of our favourites, to be honest. It was really sad that she passed away with complications whilst giving birth. So that was actually really hard news to hear from the Chris Waller stable. They put a press release out during the week, and that was, that was really tough. But I'll get Kohai's thoughts. We'll chat on that as well. Tommy will likely be back next week. He is still, I think he's in Hawaii now, so he's had an absolute ball of a time for the last 4 weeks, half his luck. But yeah, Kohai will be joining me today. We'll be talking all things Sydney and possibly touch on the group ones down south. If you haven't joined the Facebook group, it's always good. We'd get in there. There's 500-600 people in there. We all talk tips. Majority of the time, it's on a Wednesday and a Saturday. But if you want to join, just search up Give Us a Spell and we'll put you in there. Otherwise, you can search. Just follow our socials. It's just Give Us a Spell pod or whatever. Instagram, Twitter, all that sort of gear as well. Rate and review the show. That would be fantastic if you listen on Apple or Spotify. It always does help to rate and review the show. That always does good things for us. So without further ado, let's bring in Kohai, and we're probably going to start off in a bit of sad news, Koei. Horrible news about Very Elegant, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's unfortunate what's happened. Obviously, she went to stud, well, off the back of that European campaign, which was a bit of a miss. All in all, I think the connections were shooting for the stars and was hoping better, but the exciting news was she was going to become a mum with a prominent sire, a European sire, and it's just a rough story all around, isn't it? Like 11-time Group 1 winner. She did wonders to the game. And we saw, for those that haven't seen the socials, with J-Mac talking about Very Elegant, he loved that mare, much like a lot of us. It was probably the best horse, one of the most consistent horses after Winx went around, you know, years beforehand. And I do feel sorry for the connections, and for any racing fan, it is tragedy, and it is what it is. But lucky for us, we can, you know, celebrate her life in the Chipping Norton, now named the Very Elegant Stakes. So she won't be forgotten. Her legacy will live on, and yeah, somber times, but I guess that's just part of racing.
Wasn't she like one of the only horses to win over 1,400 and 3,200 in like the same prep? Something like that?
In the same calendar year, I'd have to think so. Yeah, well, obviously she won the Chipping Norton in 2021, and then subsequently her last win was the Melbourne Cup over 3,200. So, yeah, well, I mean, historically, you don't see versatility like that. I know Winx was versatile, but, like, we never saw her travel over 3,200 metres because I think it would have been a – it could have jeopardised her career. I guess that's the how the connection saw it. And then on top of that, I guess she would have been weighted out of something like the Melbourne Cup. Her ratings alone would have probably set her to be carrying a ridiculous weight that we probably haven't seen in Melbourne Cup history. It would have been over 60, I'd have to think, the rating points and everything else considered. So yeah. She genuinely could be – I mean, I know Winx is a once-in-a-generation horse. We all know that. She won, you know, 30 – was it 32 in a row or 33 in a row?
33.
Yeah, which is a remarkable feat as it is. But to win 1,400 to 3,200, 11-time Group 1 winner – I mean, you don't see that really, do you? Like, it's still tallied 14.8 million dollars. I mean, the horse absolutely owes nothing for the racing industry and the connections.
So during when she won the cup, so in August in the Winx Stakes, she came second over 14, then won the George Main over 16, then jumped in the 2,000 meter Turnbull fourth, then jumped in the Cox Plate 2,040, and then jumped in the Melbourne Cup in 3,200, all within a couple of months. It's pretty wild, but her last win was the Chippy Norton the following prep, and it was heavy 10 that day from memory. But yeah, brutal news, but luckily we do have, like you said, the race coming up. I think it's next week, and Fangirl is the favourite in that, very short. And speaking of Fangirl, I played on with a bit of audio from Fangirl's win on the weekend, and there's been a lot of chat around people... her win maybe reminding them of a certain mare back in the day that may have won 33 starts. Did you get any feel of that, the way she won?
I think the way she won, we kind of did. Like, I was watching it live at work and I was just going, my goodness, she is trucking, absolutely bolting. J-Mac didn't lift a finger.
Just ambled until up.
Ambled up, just under her own steam, and then just went bang, straight over the top. And dare I say, like, a lot of those rating experts were saying that if she was ridden out and won by, let's say, 6, 7, which she probably could have if she was to get into stuck into her work, her ratings were off the charts. So look out, I'd say. Like, I think a couple of weeks back we talked about, you know, who's the horse that's going to, you know, really become a star in this, you know, the autumn. And I definitely think that Mr. Brightside is one and Fangirl is another. I think it's not even a bold statement anymore. I think we will look for her to go group one after group one after group one following that race on the weekend.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting if she even drops a race coming forward. But that was awesome. And one other before we get stuck in, what did you make of Imperatrix's win? Private Eye gave a very good go. I thought Espiona running home for third was enormous, but what did we make of that win?
I think the most impressive part was the minor place getters. I think Imperatrix, I think we all thought that she was going to win. Very tough win. And, you know, I don't know if she's quite at champion status. I think she is champion status, but a lot would probably argue that. Saying that, I think, you know, champions do what champions do. They fight adversity and they get W, and that's what she did. But you look at Private Eye, who I thought, not necessarily Potter, but I thought the 1,000 metres was far short for it. Change of tactics, let's go forward. Settle close enough to the speed, and boy, it was tough. Boy, it was real tough. So look out for it in this autumn preparation. It looks like he's come back really well. And Espiona, I think Espiona was huge over that 1,000. I think she's come back a stronger mare as well in over the summer. And, yeah, I'm not sure what the connections are looking to pursue with Espiona. I'm not sure if there is exactly a map planned for her in the autumn. But, boy, she's going to be amongst some strong opposition, and I think she fares really well against them now, from what I saw from the Lightning anyway. So I think moving forward, you can happily black book those two, and Imperatrix is just a no-brainer. I think she will end up probably going to the TJ and probably third up, I think. Third up, yeah, maybe. Third up. I don't. I think it's going to be quite the match race. Well, maybe not match race, but it's going to be quite the grand final, that TJ Smith Stakes, and it's quite mouthwatering. So looking forward to the challenge. And, I mean, Mark Walker's just got a really good horse, and there's not much more to say, really. Nine-time group one winner, and the world's the oyster. It's oyster, so keep going. And we could see her definitely sign an early Everest deal, I'd say.
Yeah, Manly won by 0.2 of a length. The following race, Macram saluted at ridiculous odds with Jimmy Starr. Very short there, so interesting. It was a bit tough, bit of a tough day down south. I think Riff Rocket was actually really good, but we might mention just a couple of winners off the top. So if anyone listened to the podcast last week, found a lot of winners. There was a lot going on there, plus the couple at Canterbury that Kohai put forward, but the likes of Switzerland, Marshall Music, FaZe Angels, WinChat, which I think a lot of people are on. King of Sparta got the job done over Bjornis Notches. I was never getting on that, but I couldn't believe how far back it got. So it was going to be very hard to win. Samana, I think we had on top over Alentia. Fangirl was very good. I liked Think It Over as well, which hung on for a really gallant third, I thought. Kohai was bullish on Komochi, which won by the absolute nostril beating Learning to Fly, which was good because a lot of people were on Learning to Fly. So that was a good one at like $7. Logan Street Lion, I had a couple of bucks on, which held on for third in, I think it was like the second last race. And in the last, Thunderlips was just too good. But cracking day just before we hit record, Kohai, you said it was a really good Friday into Saturday for you.
Yeah, positive. I mean, for a change, we build a balance on the Friday leading into the Saturday meeting, and just never ticked over into the red, so that's always positive. And yes, we don't like to bet into every race, but the confidence level for a couple of those races were really high, so I definitely had a good go, and it was a fruitful day and or a weekend in general, and topped off by the SDRA Country Championships, which was taken out by Willow on Bianco Villano, which was, I mean, that got smashed in the market and didn't take much to, you know, back it. But the fact that it was $5 opening was juicy. And for those that took the early money, the deductions weren't that big at all and money just kept coming. So it was just good weekend of punting, and it is just going to keep, you know, rolling forward into the championships, the grand finals of autumn racing. And yeah, I look forward to the challenge.
I do love autumn. Autumn is very exciting for me, especially the Sydney racing. I know Sydney is our thing, but bloody Melbourne can be tough going. But we're going to focus on Sydney today. We'll touch on, there's three group ones down in Melbourne later, which we'll talk on the likes of Mr. Brightside, whether $1.50 is yes or no. We'll touch on that after we finish Rose Hill. But Rose Hill kicks off with a midway, always the fun race, and kicks off with an equal $4.80 favourites, which is always just torture. So just checking a deduction here, because there's big moves. There's no deductions. $10 tab opened, glad you think so, into $4.80 for Burke and Sargent. This is coming off a midweeker, I think. Smart Legends there. Kieran, who is actually really riding really well lately, coming off a bunch of thirds on the Kenzo track. Straight out to 12s for Electrica. No jockey there. Pharaoh's Reign, Decadent Tale, and whatnot. But if those flux are correct, Coey, glad you think so has been smacked.
Absolutely smashed would be the way I'd look at it. And I'd say rightfully so. Earlier in the week, Sarge was interviewed, and he was extremely pleased of its preparation thus far. It trialed really well leading into it, and then subsequently that third where it absolutely just bolted home, and I think it only lost by, it wasn't much, would have been kind of a long neck or something at the end. And this is a horse that's looking for further, and I believe it's heading towards an Oaks, is my understanding. So an Oaks being, you know, a lot further in trip, over 1,000 meters in trip. I mean, looking at it, I think the bookmakers definitely put the wrong price up. I think just off the back of that run, I know it was midweek, but still, that extra 100 meters will help. It's got fitness in its legs. It's got Molly Burke, who's riding extremely well in town. Got the 3 kilos off. Ticks a lot of boxes. And barrier two, I think it might settle a little bit more forward. I don't think it has to. I think last start in the midweeks, it was a smallish field and it was slightly strung out, and it was a weirdly mapped race. And obviously it was too short for it. But the way it bowled along from the last four to the two to the winning post, it was pretty good. And I think that is the form to follow. I think she's ready to win again, put a win this preparation second up. I've already mentioned the fitness edge. Outside of that, this is where it kind of gets tricky. I think the other prominent form line to look at is Smart Legends and the midweek 2 weeks ago. The midweek 2 weeks ago doesn't rate so strongly on paper. I think Decadent Tales definitely on the above the price point. DiMaggio's drawn the car park, said no. Pharaoh's Reign was strong enough coming third, but this is definitely tougher once again. I think Smart Legend is the obvious other danger. Yes, the market obviously dictates that. You've already mentioned K-Mac riding extremely well at the moment. But, yeah, I have to agree with the absolute market push for Glad You Think So.
All right, glad to. I'll be pretty keen to see how many people actually jumped on at that 10 or 11 bucks they got. But yeah, crack and go. Highways next, 1400 meters. Belvedere Boys, Nash is aboard, coming out of 10, 460 into 390. Had a win, I think, up in Queen. Yes, it did. Doomben, car, two starts back. Rapidash. Jeez, that's a tough one. Mitchell Bell is riding $5.50. Palazzo Prince, very wide, $5.50 in from eights. Reese Jones is looking for three on the trot. Oh, it's certainly had two starts, two wins. Atmospheric Rock is at $6. We have Hey Siri, which is one of Tommy's horses. What are you getting? $16 for Hey Siri. So we'll have to have a little message to Tom. He has declared, he's been declaring a couple lately. But all right, what do we think in the highway? Tough go.
Tough go, typical highway. I think we had six or seven horses come out of that highway 2 weeks back, which Atmospheric Rock won on the day. I know the barrier shouldn't be an issue because it is definitely a horse that runs on, but I definitely do have qualms because I think this is maps out a lot better for a lot of the other horses that contested it last start. I don't know where to really steer anyone into, but like obviously Belvedere Boys was good. It was near last and it ran home extremely well. It was about a length and a bit over a length behind Atmospheric Rock, who had a better run, found the outside and just shot forward. Those probably are the likely ones to repeat a similar result this start, but I do like what I saw. I know it's coming out of a class one at Dubbo, but Palazzo Prince on that day where Chelsea Hillier gave it an absolute peach of a ride, I don't mind it. I think barrier 15, it's going to be a horse that runs similarly alongside Atmospheric Rock and even Rapidash and the likes. I think they will be jostling for position and cover at the back of the field, which sounds unusual, but I think that's going to be the case. Barrier 15 at the moment is a bit of a query, but I do see a little bit of talent in this horse. I think it's just going to come out the thick cold. Reese Jones will smoke the pipe. It's going to be carrying 54.5 on the day. Its turn of foot was really impressive at Dubbo. So for those who want to go check out their replay, definitely check it out. It was a peach of a ride, like I said, but I think it's definitely up to this kind of highway grade. I know Rod Northam don't take these highways lightly. He's got Sharp Shock also nominated in this race. And if I were to pick the two, I think Palazzo Prince is definitely something that is looking to, how would I word it? He's definitely the one that could have a little bit of X factor. I think I know I'd be speaking it too early, but he could be aiming for something like a Kosciuszko in long-term kind of ways. So really lightly raced. It hasn't lost even in a trial to date. So I want to take the 550. I think you can bet with a little bit of confidence how the market has gravitated to it for such a lightly raced horse. And the other one that I want to quickly touch on is an emergency. I don't even know. It doesn't have a start yet, but we'll wait and see if it does get one. Is Vino Lass from Keith Dryden's stable at Canberra. It's got a four start, three wins, 1 second record. Last start, it ran second behind Super Bright in a midweek race at Warwick Farm. I'd say this midweek benchmark race definitely comes in strong into this highway grade. I think Super Bright is a proper Saturday horse. It's won on Saturday grade before as well. Bury 8's low enough that I think it will settle probably quite forward-ish. It can handle all sorts of going. Obviously, we've seen a bit of rain about in Sydney Town, so it's two wins. Oh, sorry. All three wins have come in rain-affected ground, so definitely one to consider, and I think the market has come for it. Has it? Yeah. So it's 8.50 now. I think if it gets a start, we could probably say it's going to start. I'm not going to say favourite, but I could see it dropping a couple of points closer to start time. So I'd definitely back Palazzo Prince and have a little saver on Vino Less.
All right, decent odds too. Keep an eye on Tommy's horse, Hey Siri. The one he has mentioned to us is Ramones in the last at Corindai tomorrow. If you notice those horses, they always purple and white silks, always seven letters in the name from memory as well. So Hey Siri and Ramones, keep an eye on that last at Corindai tomorrow. We have a 1,100-meter race, race number three. Dipsy Doodle is the favourite J-Mac aboard for Godolphin. Has anyone been out? Yeah, 10-cent deduction for Miss Icelandic is there. So $4 for Dipsy Doodle. She's an all-A-lister. $5, Zach Lloyd riding for Bjorn. Good wins lately. I think it's looking for about four on the trot. Extravagant Star is there at $5.50. Ballroom Bella as well at $7.50. Bandy's Boy, a couple of others at decent odds as well. But what do you think of She's an A-lister? That's supposed to keep winning, right?
Yeah, I'm a fan. Three wins this preparation. I don't know what its peak is, but it doesn't get that heavily penalised, I think, off the back of that win in benchmark 78 grade. So I could probably back her again. Winning form's good form. She handles the sting out of the ground. And I'd say that benchmark 78 is, I wouldn't say completely strong, but I think the likes of Tintuki, Acapella Sun, who's going to be running later in the day, who I think is quite a decent chance, to be absolutely honest, at a price. I think that form definitely carries through. So I could probably happily see her. Well, I think last time she stepped a little bit slow and it was a weird run race. And I think this start, I think the tactics will be let's go forward. And if that be the case, she's going to be the one to catch. So I'm happy to put She's an A-lister right up there. And the other one that I want to consider, if there is a big if in this field, Dipsy Doodle is nominated for Canterbury's last race, I believe. And if she runs there, I'd definitely be taking a nice price on her there. I think she is favourite at about $3 thereabouts. And if she goes there, yeah, definitely a bet there. As for this race, definitely a tougher assignment. So I've never particularly won on this horse. So I don't know how to map it off the back of that Arcobi Sun's race as well, because Arcobi Sun broke a track record under that day at Rose Hill. Yes, the form looks good, but it was still by 3.5 lengths. It was carrying 52 on the day with Zach Lloyd on the back. This time around, J-Mac jumps on, gets a wider barrier. I think it's got to map poorly for it. I don't know where it settles. I think it'll try to go forward, but it might be trapped wide. And if that were to be the case, I don't want to see it. I wouldn't want to back it in the run. So I'm happy to currently lay Dipsy Doodle and back it at Canterbury with a lower barrier. And the other one I did want to quickly touch on was, where is it? And not Ballroom Bella. Extravagant Star. I think it's definitely a hit and miss horse for me as well. But the last start in August where it won, beating Smashing Eagle, Defiant Heart, not a bad rating race for a benchmark 78. Jason Collard is absolutely flying at the moment. Should get a box seat run here. Its most recent trial was a nice piece of work. Very soft, but a nice piece of work. I think she could definitely do something first up and watch for the market. But yeah, at the moment I am leaning towards She's an A-lister.
All right, Dipsy Doodle running in race 7 tomorrow. $3.40 at Canterbury. Keep an eye where they go with that. $2.40 in the Silver Slipper Stakes is Straight Charge. $2.80 into $2.40 in Espionage is there at $2.60, so it's going to be a good one. Erno's Cube at $7.50, Embassy $8, Celerity $12. The rest are a lot more. Tiny, tiny deduction, so we'll ignore that. But Straight Charge and Espionage looks like they're going around against each other again. Likewise, I think Erno's Cube was against them as well at some point too. So what do we think?
I think, the stablemates are going to be hard to beat. I think the money is probably right. I think with the exception of maybe It is surprising to see Celerity on the high end of the price. I think her run actually warrants a bit of respect. She just left her run way too late, and she was definitely doing her best work late. So the current price you get, I think, is quite generous. The real X factor in this race that is kind of untried is Gatsby's, which is a first starter for the Chris Waller yard. Extremely nice trial the other day, and I think the market is kind of slightly correcting towards her way. Is that how I'd word it? I don't know, but there is a little bit of support for her. I can probably warrant it. But saying that, another horse much like Dipsy Doodle, Gatsby's is nominated for the first race at Canterbury tomorrow. So, and I think she's favourite, if I'm not wrong. I think she is favourite. And the price difference is quite astronomical. So, you know, you got 34s on Saturday, and I think she's like a $3 pop in a huge field at Canterbury. So I think it'll be a telltale sign come tomorrow morning when final acceptances come out where, you know, if Gatsby's going to Canterbury, yeah, it's probably hers to win.
$2.70 at Canterbury.
Extremely short, right? But, yeah, I think the market's pretty correct with what I think is Espionage's straight charge. It's pretty hard to split the two. The money late, well, not late, but right now is definitely gravitating towards straight charge. Both are really good trialers. Classic Adrian Bott, Gay Waterhouse types. They fought each other in the Breeders' Plate way back, you know, late last year. And they were both good. Espionage won on that occasion, and Straight Charge was beaten by a nose. I think the map will be pretty obvious. I just think that both of them shoot forward and probably lead and win. So I am gravitating towards Espionage just because it's got that win next to its name, and it's just got that softer draw with Nash on board and that. But I think it is a two-horse race. It maps that way. I think the market's pretty correct. So I'm happy to back either Espionage or Straight Charge, just with leaning towards Espionage with a better barrier.
Right, Espionage. We go to Parramatta Cup, 1,900-metre listed race. Dymal is the fave. J-Mac riding for John O'Shea. It's going to be second up. Had a last start. What did it get? Third against Amore Victorious. Zenzella is there. Bit of money for it. 460 into 370. Jason Collett's riding for Kieran Maher. Had a run up in Queensland. So United's there at 10s. Canberra Legend 11s. 13 for Lord Ardmore. Due a win, Lord Ardmore. Jeez. Almania there at 14. Calipore at 15. Stroke of Luck 15. It's actually not a bad race. There's a lot of value here if you like something besides the top two. But who are you with?
I'm leaning towards Zenzella at the moment. I think this is a tricky, tricky race. Like, we've got a lot of talented stayers resuming their campaign. I'd say a lot of these horses will end up kind of grand finaling towards the Sydney Cup, and understandably so. Yeah, a lot of interest. I think I've only gravitated towards Zenzella with the low weight and how it performed in Gold Coast and everything else. It's got kind of like it's had a little short spell in between, and I like that. It's got fitness edge. I think it'll handle the trip no problem. I think Barrier 7's definitely beneficial. I know So United beat it in that Magic Millions trophy race, but I think there is a lot more pressure in this race. So I don't think it'll get it as easy. And the way that Zenzella closed on So United that day was, I think it was pretty impressive, actually, for something that was kind of hovering in that stakes grade down south of the border. You know, ran third in a summon stakes, won a Lord stakes at listed level. I think there is a lot of merit. And the most recent trial was quite nice, over 1,200 metres. Against, you know, no slouches. Gumbare is running on Saturday. Unspoken's a nice horse from the Snowden yard. And the times weren't bad. So I am happy to stick with Zenzella for the time being. As for the rest, I think if you like something, back it. But a lot of these horses are going to need that first run out of the way. They are genuine stayers. Man's horse is going to need further. I think it'll start peaking when it hits 2,400, thereabouts. Entente would be the other speed horse, but Barrier 19's got to disparage me, and he'd be the other stablemate that probably is the, you know, flying the ointment for So United. It could jeopardize its run. And Stroke of Luck, big fan, but it's going to need further. And just its trials, it didn't show me too much. So a couple more runs and I'll probably be backing it. But yeah, at the moment, I am sticking with Zenzela.
All right, Zenzela and Mr. Collett. Marquise is the favourite in race number 6, 1400 metre benchmark, 100. $3.90. Zach Lloyd gets the ride, 460 into 390. Palmetto is there. Just checking. Yeah, okay. Barrier 1, Molly Burke for Sarge. It's $4.80. Robusto is there, 11s into 550. Good go. Coming off a second at Rose Hill. Yep, that was a pretty good second too. Kinlock is there, drawn very wide at 650. 850, Vernelli, double figure. The rest of them. Good coin, Robusto. Drawn 11, J-Mac aboard, Waller. What do you reckon?
I think that's genuinely J-Mac money. I don't know. Like, I never back it when it wins. It's one of them horses, isn't it? Saying that, it's won twice over this preparation against good enough, strong enough company, but I think it's towards the back end of its preparation. Barrier 11 definitely does not suit it. I think it will be tailed off near last, I have to think, or it's going to be trapped wide trying to find a position. So the move is significant, but I couldn't take that price currently. I think it needs to be a little bit longer for me to back. I kind of am gravitated towards Palmetto. I think Sarge could have a really good day on Saturday. And the way this fella fucking trialed on at Randwick about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago almost, it was impressive. And that was against, you know, a stablemate in Perfect Thought who was properly ridden through the line, and Buenos Notches, quite a fast customer himself. So I liked what I saw. His first up record's a little bit iffy, but I think definitely up to this grade for sure. I think Palmetto won the Coast last year, if I recall, and subsequently went on to, you know, come place in a Cameron and win a Diamond Prelude, and it's been up against some really strong company. And I think just the first up assignment over 1400 meters from a low draw with the claim of Molly Burke, I think it ticks a lot of boxes. I think it will probably sit two pairs back on the fence, and well, hopefully if the inside of the rail, well, inside part of the track isn't chopped up and playing fair, it's definitely got a chance. And I think the price is right. I'd be backing it right now, and I think it'll firm. I think rain would help even more, but saying that, I think it's quite versatile, this horse, so I'd be happy to back it right now.
Okay. Yeah, that back it now. Millie Fox is the next one. 1,300 metres, Group 2, first leg of the Quaddie, and Lady Laguna is favourite. So $2.80 into $2.25. Checking, yep. Annabelle's horse. So, good wins. Rose Hill, Gold Coast, Doomben, the last three, have won all three of them. Zugotcha is there. Going to be interesting how she comes back, I think. That's $4.60. $9 for Vienna Princess. You're getting How Good Are You? Regan riding for Gay and Adrian, $11. The rest of them are pretty big odds. Argentia is something we were talking about pre-recording. That looks like that's back too. She's going around at $19. But Lady Laguna, can she make it four in a row?
She definitely could. I mean, I think everything maps in her favour. Winning form's great. Like, her races that she's been in have been strong. I think this one matches up perfectly. It's against fillies and mares. I think, it's rated well. The market is justified, I think. I guess the only query is, you know, Tyler Schiller goes on board instead of J-Mac, but I guess J-Mac has the affiliation with Chris Waller, so that's what I'm taking out of it anyway. As for it, do I want to take the shorts on it? I'm not sure. I've read this race six ways, and it's not an easy one. I don't mind backing a couple of horses resuming here, like Vienna Princess. I think she's priced nicely. She'll settle midfield, and she's definitely got the runs on the board. I think her preparation in the spring was really good. Well, it was quite good. She only had the three starts, but all three starts had merits, and she won two of them. So definitely could back her at, what, $8 or $9, like you said. Zugotcha obviously resumes. Got a bit of J-Mac money, slightly on the underside, but Barrier 2 should get favours there as well. Yeah, I had about four tips in this, but I'm starting to lean towards Vienna Princess with the value. I think the price is really nice. And a couple of the other horses, I think Stilettantes, I think it's past its best. Renaissance Woman will probably need further. Madame Pomery needs further. And how good are you? Slightly disappointing first up. She has the lightweight here, but I don't think this assignment's far too tough for her. So I'm leaning towards the value. Play Vienna Princess each way.
All right, Vienna Princess each way. You're getting $9, $2.50 a place. Decent. All right, race number 8 is the Hobartville. Decent race. Tom Kitten, a lot of chat about this horse. Nash is aboard, 360 into 320. Had a run last start, probably a bit disappointing, but yeah, $3.20 this time, going around as favourites this time, stepping up to 1,400. NCAP is there at $6, in from 8. Less Vampires is there. Joshy Parr riding, one of my faves, Josh Parr, always happy. 6 is out to 750. Ducasse is there at $8. Celestial Legend at 850. Fukubana at 9s. Double figures the rest. Quite a tough one. If Tom Kitten does what he can do, or he's going to be pretty tough to beat, but this is actually pretty tough, Coey. Like, where do you land with this?
It's definitely tricky, and I don't know, like, I think when the All-Ins opened on Monday, we thought Tom Kitten was unders for sure, because I think 1,400 metres is definitely on the sharper side of things, but it's won over 1,300 metres twice. Yes, it was in weaker races, but it's won over the trip, and, you know, Nash sticks, which makes sense. Barrier 4 is nice, so, yeah, you can make a case for it, but I think it's a drifting favourite, so I think... I'd like to see it closer to probably 4, even 4.5. I think the market will, I don't know, I think it'll level itself out here. It's hard to explain, but I think it does its best work, especially watching its last campaign where it won the Spring Champion Stakes over 2,000. So I think I want to see it run, despite how good it might land and run. I think the price is a little bit on the sharper side. So if you're a Tom Kitten fan, I think you back it closer to race time. I think you should find a better price for it. As for what I like, I'm kind of thinking to take a chance only because I think the price is right. It's definitely on the nicer side. I really liked what I saw with Ducasse. Yes, it finally broke its maiden last start at Warwick Farm in a midweek, you know, super maiden, which doesn't seem like much, but Redbreast has since gone and won. I think that Detendu, I think that won today, didn't it? I think it did. Or figured thereabouts at Wyong. The fact that this horse was, you know, in Group 2 company, Tap Craig, Ming Dynasty, up and coming. So it's kind of competed against the same opposition. But for it or him to come back this preparation first up, win the way he won, he was stone motherless us in that Warwick Farm race, and then just ate him up, just went straight over the top of him and won by almost 2.5. It was impressive what he did. And Tommy Berry sticks, which I like. Yeah, a lot of ticks, and I think the price is really nice. I think it's the penny might have finally dropped for this colt, and the fact that the connections decide to keep it as a colt and the way it returned really impressed me. So I'm happy to put it on top at the moment. There is dangers in terms of value as well. I think He-Man's definitely something that could improve out of sight. I don't think we've got to the bottom of him. Celestial Legend has the run under its belt. 1,400 definitely suits. 1,200 metres in the Eskimo Prince was definitely on the sharp side. I'd definitely see more improvement coming here second up. But, yeah, I just... keep gravitating towards Ducasse and Lay Vampires, also another progressive type. Barrier 1, we know the tactics for this horse. It will be the out-and-out leader here. It'll hold the fence for all money. And if he gets a soft time up front, I could definitely see it winning. So there's upside to it. But, yeah, Ducasse coming out of maiden form. Who would have thought?
All right, Ducasse, decent odds too, you're getting. Race number 9 is 1,100 metre, benchmark 94. Red Card is going around. J-Mac on another favourite. First up, has a trial, decent trial too. I saw that one, Rose Hill. It's $4, pretty much bang on what it opened. Frilled is there at $4.20. That came around third recently to Brudnell. That's a very close one. Derry Groves at $6. Libertad at, $8 coming out of $12. Brudnell is $9.50. I'm trying to see if anything's actually been backed. It hasn't overly, Coey. This is pretty much, the market's pretty much stuck exactly how it's opened. Tough one though. Red Card is a horse that I think a lot of people followed in Melbourne last prep, and I think it ran around $1.40 and quite short in some and didn't get the chockies. So where are you?
I am with red card, but with plenty of reservation, because I think eight of the 11 runners, whatever, however big the field is, they all come out of the same race last start. So Brunel, Derry Grove, Omni-Man, Key Largo, Mabel, Frilled, Rainbell, Beal, and Arbelaggio Miss all come out of the same race last start, which Brudenell won by an absolute nostril. So I can justify why the market is so confused, because I think there's about four or five horses out of that race that you could probably earmark, and if it wasn't up against each other, they could definitely run as a pretty dominant favourite, to be honest. So very, very, very tricky race, but I've settled with red card. I think it's last preparation, definitely the strongest preparation in terms of the field. So it's been up against classier horses in my eye. I'm surprised the team at Godolphin have only given it one trial, but it must be rock hard fit. It seems like a fresh horse. Yes, on paper, second up record reads better, but that trial was really, really nice. Really, really nice. And J-Mac sticks. Yes, the J-Mac factor probably gives the price a little bit of a hit, but I think Godolphin could salute here. Outside of it, I think Derry Grove I'm a big fan of. Omni-Man I'm a big fan of, but Barrier 8, and it was a bit flat last start, so I'd want to see big improvement second up. Brudenell, I mean, that win was pretty enormous at benchmark 94 grade. It'll probably map to get a similar run this start, and the fact of the matter is it's actually going to be 1 kilo lighter here, so... Yeah, I mean, it ticks a few boxes for me, but yeah, another race that you could look and see seven different results happening, but I'm settling for red card here.
All right, red card. It's going to be a toughie, I think. We go to the last in, what do we got, a 1,300-meter race. Gently Rolled is the favourite. It's 460 into 340. We know with the last races of the day, we should be looking for something that Bjorn is training. What's Bjorn got? He's got Rupertar at 19s. Keep an eye on that. High Blue Sea is at 5s. We've got Dakota Vroom, which is something Tommy and myself sort of had a couple of bucks on the other week, which didn't do too good. Came second. Starman, Acapella Sun, Kintyre, they're all there as well. It's a tough one to round out the day, Cowie.
Definitely. And I mentioned this mare early in the podcast where she's an A-lister, won the race. I'm happy to go Acapella Sun here. Bit of value, I think. Probably arguably should have won the race last start against She's an A-lister in Tintuki. It was blocked for a run for all money and got the late splits when it just peeled, like somehow squeezed itself out of a pocket and had to run extremely wide to, you know, travel late. Had the best four in the two and then two to the winning post. So I think it's definitely one to follow. The price is definitely right. As for the rest, Gently Rolled, strong win, obviously, last start. This start probably maps extremely similar. I think favouritism is probably justified. Barrier 4, Zach Lloyd, Bryce Hayes has some really nice types, and this is one of them. I can see it definitely going back-to-back here. Could be a progressive horse that, you know, just keeps going through the benchmark grades. What else did I like in this? A couple of resuming types that I didn't mind, but Kintyre, strong in the car park. Romeo's Choice, I don't know what to do with it. I think it's definitely within my numbers, but the fact that it doesn't have a jockey and it's drawn the car park also is a worry. Yeah, it's a tricky one. I think Dakota Vroom, I think it just needs further. I think 1,300 metres is on the sharper side. I really think it's kind of like a progressive miler. I mean, Chris Waller definitely knows what he's doing. But I think it just needs further to my eye. I think it does its best work late and just lengthens. So it running 1,300 metres again, I'm just kind of slightly disparaged by it. So I'm happy to back something at odds with Acapella Sun.
All right, Acapella Sun, J Ford, $11, came in from 16, so keep an eye on that. That is Rosehill, 10 of the best. We're looking at a couple of the group ones down in Melbourne. So let's start with the Futurity, and then we'll move up. The Futurity is a 1,400-meter, three-year-old plus. We got Mr. Brightside going around at $1.50. It opened at $1.50, still $1.50. Attrition is there at $8.50, had a good win last time out, must have been last year. Nugget is there at 9.50. Pericles is at 11. Buffalo River, which a lot of people gave raps to about running a possible place last start, which it did. It ran a place at about $10 a place, which hung on for third, which was really good. Dom Deschutes there, Moonamex there, and Hey Fat Cat, one of Chris's Chris's horses. But, Coey, $1.50, is it the right price? Probably.
It's hard to say, isn't it? But, like, I think it is the right price. I mean, what it did in the CFL was it was tough. We both love this horse, so we don't really speak bad of it, to be absolutely honest. We don't really pot it because it keeps running such an honest race. Like, it hasn't missed a place in I don't even know how long, to be honest. And I think it's just going to get better and better as it goes through its preparation. So, Barrier 5, Willow Sticks, small field once again, or it's smaller than last start, should I say. Buffalo River was really tough, I'll be honest, and it'll be the likely leader again here. I see it mapping extremely well. I don't think Willow wants to be eye to eye with Buffalo, but it'll probably try and just settle just off them, probably one back with cover and just go bang. I mean, it, as for the rest, like, I do think that Pericles was pretty ordinary first up. I do expect him to be better second up. Barrier 1 definitely helps. I think it'll just probably box seat if it jumps clean. I think it'll just get the run of the race. But I think, yeah, you look at Mr. Brightside over and over again, $1.50, can it be Ben? Can it be Ben? But it's just even ratings alone, it's just the best horse in this field by a couple folds.
Who would you have in second?
I want to see, well, as for second, it's a bit of a toss-up for me. I think if Buffalo just does what Buffalo does, it could definitely run a hole again. I could definitely see Pericles improving second up, like I said. I think it should get a run of the race, box seat. And then one horse that I want to keep safe, which I haven't seen any jump out, no nothing, is Nugget resuming here. Barrier 2 with Mark Zara on board. Definitely tread carefully with it. Last preparation, obviously, you know, had a... It was not hampered, but it was only a short one, and it got tipped out pretty quickly after the King Charles, and it ran, you know, 50s or 60s that day when Fangirl did Fangirl things again, but it was only four lengths behind Fangirl, so it wouldn't be the worst ratings race to compare it to, and, you know, obviously it came against Mr. Brightside on that occasion as well, where it was only, I think, about a length and a half behind him. So Nugget's definitely something that I want to keep safe, but yeah, overall, I just think Mr. Brightside wins, and then you probably box up Pericles, Nugget, and Buffalo River for the, let's say, the trifecta.
All right. $1.50, Mr. Brightside. Going to be a good watch. We got the Blue Diamond Stakes. Interesting race. 1,200 metres, $3.90 you get for Coleman, which is the race favourite. Good luck for people on Lady of Camelot. I have quite a few people I know on good futures for this horse. Hieronymus is riding for Gay and Adrian. That six is into 4.80. We have Bodyguard. There's been a bit of chat about this horse, about possibly lame and whatnot, so it's obviously going to get a vet check. As a result, it's $5 to $7.50. High Octane, $7 to $8, and Niza is $10 to $11, and then we're getting $15, $17, etc. for the rest of them. Lady of Camelot looks like it's had some couple of bucks, but a couple of these moves might just be because of the drift on Bodyguard, you reckon?
I think so too, but like this is as tough as it comes, this race. Like, it's a bunch of 2-year-olds, capacity field, and I wouldn't say there is an absolute standout. Like, Bodyguard's win in the boys race in the prelude was good, but obviously lameness issues definitely worry, so you know what, like, if it passes fit on the morning and it's still hovering around that $7 price point, I think it's definitely, you can back it. I think $7 is a great price for it. I think Stay Focused, who comes out of the same race and around a hole behind Bodyguard, yes, it's drawn 15, but $17, I think that's definitely overs in my eyes. So I wouldn't mind a little slice of it. Lady of Camelot, I think, is the obvious danger. It draws four. Hippo's coming down from Sydney to Melbourne. The penny's not exactly dropped for it, but that win last start was enormous. I think it can keep improving, and it could genuinely become a golden slipper chance. Well, I mean, obviously Storm Boy's a prominent favourite in that, but and the likes of Switzerland, but for the girls, definitely one of the best girls running around at the moment. So tread carefully. And I don't know what they've done with this Ruta Royale, but 51 seems incredibly high. It's come second in two tough races, the Golden Gift and the English Millennium. Yes, it comes off speed and it's, you know, it needs luck in the run, but I wouldn't be disparaged by the barrier. It's going to be, you know, trucking along behind. It's going to be a high-pressure race regardless with the capacity field of two-year-olds. So if the speed is hot, like 51s is massive overs in my eyes. So I could have something small on it. But I am leading towards the boys. If Bodyguard is fit on the day, I think it's the one to beat. 750 right now, can take. It's
you're saying like in her eyes, which is another roughie, 150s into 50s. So some people, that could really honestly be a couple hundred dollars, but some people are having a crack at that too.
Big odds. No, 100%. And even like the likes of that Clinton McDonald thing, Hayasugi, who's, you know, it stayed pretty honest in the market, but it's got winning form and Jamie Carr lands on it. And I wouldn't be against it at $18. It's probably priced correctly because it's coming out of weaker races, but yeah, like there is genuinely 10 chances in this race, 10 chances. And to take, and I haven't even spoken about Coleman, for God's sake, you know, the current favorite. It's so tough. I think Bodyguard and Lady of Camelot are the ones to beat, but Coleman, the market has gravitated after its win in the Chairman's Stakes. And the biggest what if I have with that Chairman's and the current price is the fact that it ran in a 5-horse race. It wasn't a high pressure race. It was tactically a weird race. The connections must be so confident and the support is huge. I can't remember the horse's name that won the Chairman's last year. Also in a similar kind of manner where it was small field. I think it was in the Vinery colours and it did nothing in the Blue Diamond. And I have fears that it could do exactly the same thing. So it's worried me out of it. Small field 390, big field 390 coming out of a 5-horse race with no pressure, tactically driven. Yes, it won by 2¾, but unders. Lay right now for me, lay. I could have egg on my face by, you know, this race, but yeah, I'm happy to just pot it a little bit. I'm going to go with what I know, and I think the two to follow are Bodyguard and Lady of Camelot.
Okay, we go to the Oakley Plate in the other group one, 1,100 metres. King's Gambit is the favourite. 420 out to 460 into 440, pretty much hanging around at the same spot. Asfura, always been one of mine, at $6. Aiken Sticks, barrier 11. Shprira is there. $10 into 850, has won a stack in a row, has been doing really well. Bendetta is there at $9. Ray Mangirio is 10s. Kalos is there at 14s. Hypothetical at 14s. Decent race as well. King's Gambit, we know the horse is pretty good. Jamie Carr gets aboard. Won its last start at Rose Hill. It's going to be first up. It's had a couple of trials. Asfura has already been running around. Where are you at?
I can, not confidently, but I think Asfura will bounce back. I do think Asfura can bounce back. It came second, obviously, in that race in the Rubiton, which Kalos ended up winning. We had a very happy Mark Staplefelt that backed him on the nose on the day and paid 20s or something like that. So good on Stapo. But I think Asfura could definitely turn the tables. Yes, it was a short price favourite that lost on the day, but I think the run still had merit. I know the barrier is a little bit sticky and this and the other, but I think it's definitely a group one horse, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. And it rates well. Price is right. I mean, I couldn't take the $1.80 last start. I just couldn't. It was just on paper, it was just the best horse in the race, but the $1.80 for it was just too short for it. So I can back Asfura far more confidently this start at a smaller wager and get a better result, if that makes sense. So I could probably bet into him. Another horse that I don't mind backing is Jason Warren's mare first up. Benedetta. Pretty lightly raced as a 4-year-old, 10 starts, 6 wins and 3 third places. first up record, it's won before. Draws really well here. I would say it settles in the first six in running. Daniel Stackhouse knows this horse really well. It was a progressive horse last preparation. It's placed behind King of Sparta in the Bobby Lewis last preparation down to Flemington. And obviously we've seen King of Sparta, you know, improve out of sight from that Gold Coast run to last weekend. So I think it's a form line you could definitely follow. So I'm happy to back both Asfura and Benedetta here.
All right, Asfura, always one of mine. All right, that is Caulfield. Just going to have a quick look at the last, if there's anything worth it. Revolutionary Misses going around again. Anything else, mate? Have you had a good look at Canterbury or anything like that for the Friday?
I have had a look at Canterbury. I am happy to miss race one because I think Gatsby's definitely poses an interesting threat, obviously being nommed the Saturday as well, and J-Mac jumps on board this start. But 270 seems sharp despite the really strong trial. The one that I've been getting a little bit of mail on was this Rosalind Star number 7 for John O'Shea. The camp are really pleased with it. I think they believe it could be a late season 2-year-old where it could, I don't know what its ceiling is, but they are very pleased despite drawing barrier 12. So $5 if you like it, I don't mind it. Race two? I can't remember which races I did like bet. I did like Sunlord in race two. Progressive horse. Probably sits just off the speed. Can win.
You're getting 290 for it there, Nash.
Yeah. Don Pedro, obviously the speed horse in it, but I think Sunlord, its last two runs are really strong. I think one of the better bets of the card is Rhythm of Love resuming this start. Trial was amazing. Looks really strong. Draws barrier one, gets Nash on board. So big tick, 225. I think you can probably multi that into a Saturday race or something of the like. Don't mind that idea. Race five was a miss for me. Race six. Let me just go through. I should have probably written this all down. Landwind can improve again despite coming fifth last start. 550 can respect. Race seven, the sprint series final. This one was a tricky race. I don't want to say it's a no-bet race, but I think if Dipsy Doodle does accept this race, it's going to be extremely hard. Gets J-Mac, second up, barrier seven, should be close enough to the speed, can win, strongest horse in the field. And in the lucky last, the get-out stakes, as we call it, this was a no race for me. So I will be happy to take Rhythm of Love for the nose. I think that's probably the best bet of the card, and might have something small on Rosalind's Star from the camp mail.
Okay. All right, there's a lot going on this weekend. Remember Tommy's horse going around in the last at Quirindi tomorrow. Be wary if the other short favourite comes out. There's no jock on there, so you might be copper deduction. But he was pretty confident on it too, Ramones. All right. If another thing, wrapping up at the end, if you are interested in NRL footy tipping, reach out. We are trying to sort that in the next week or so. I think the first game is about a week away. Manly kicking off the season, of course. Get your premiership bets on for the Manly Seagulls. And if you want to make bets with your mates, Luke Brooks to be Dally M is probably a good one as well, I think. Don't you reckon, Coy?
Bold. Bold. That's what it is. I like bold statements.
Optimistic.
Oh, yeah. And I do. I did get some New Zealand mail. If I,
go on, yep.
I haven't had a good New Zealand mail in a little while, but racing at Matamata. I just need to find the horse.
Do we it's know called the race number?
No, it's called Alabama.
Alabama Lass?
That's the one.
Found it. Okay. All right, $3.10. It is race number 7, the Breeders' Stakes. It is not favourite, though. Captured by Love, Obi Bossom is $2.90. Alabama Last, $3.10.
So strong, the favourite captured second by starter. Love has... Yep, has the current favourite's strung 3 in a row, and those famous silks of, you know, Tiakia Racing, the ones that Imperatrix wears, they always get dominated. They're stable money usually for that, but this Alabama Last from the Kelso team... Big word that could be the next big thing coming out of New Zealand. They were extremely happy with it. It's one and only start where it won. And, yeah, I don't know what they're planning to do, but the way it won was over 9.5 lengths on debut. So Sam Spratt sticks, and look out, world. We could have a possible star in the making, from what I understand.
Really? They're that optimistic?
Yeah, like I've heard some... From my New Zealand mail guy, he was like, I can't believe this thing didn't start open favourite. But I can get it, because obviously the favourite's had three wins next to its name. But and it's got Opie Bosson riding it. But yeah, this Alabama Lass, big word on it.
Okay. All right. Keep an eye on Dunkel in the first at Caulfield as well. I think it could run a little cheeky race there at $3.10. All right. That is us wrapping it up. Thursday evening, we will get some tips put up on the page, see if we can bet it last week, which will be tough to do. 7 or 8 winners plus the quaddy and whatnot. So we will try again. So enjoy your beers tonight. Go high. Tommy will be back next week and we'll do it all again.
Beauty. Look forward to it.
All right. See you, mate.
See you, buddy.